Take your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is our text of Scripture today. We will read the entire chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head was weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his sons that went to the battle were Eliab, firstborn, and next was Abinadab, and third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presenting himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench of the host, was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he coming up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and naughty is thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again, after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armored him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and a ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not the sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shearim, even unto Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, for the moments that we come to your word, we thank you for it. We pray that you would give us understanding, guide our thoughts, May we have our focus upon you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our scripture text today, we come to a story that is familiar. It's a story of David and Goliath. It's a tale that we learn as children, and it's a favorite of many. But have you ever stopped to think, why is this story in the Bible? Why is 1 Samuel chapter 17 there? Why did David encounter Goliath? This is the account of a test that David had to go through. Just after Samuel anointed Saul to be king of Israel in chapter 10, Saul went into battle to defeat Nahash and the Ammonites, chapter 11. And just after Jesus was inaugurated to his public ministry by his baptism, he was led into the wilderness for a time of testing. And so now is time. David has been anointed king at the end of chapter 16, or the middle of chapter 16, and now it's time for him to be tested. But what was to be tested? David was chosen to be king because God evaluated his heart. Now it's time for his heart to be tested. It's time for his heart to be revealed. His faith is tested because it takes a vital faith to be a leader of God. But it takes a vital faith to be the servant of God. Now our story takes place in the Valley of Elah. It's in the western foothills of Judah. The Valley of Elah was not a narrow ravine, but was more like a vast canyon. The ancient site was probably about a mile wide, and toward the mouth of the canyon, it opened even wider. At the bottom of the canyon was a ravine, and between the slopes were the stream bed where David found the stones for his sling. To the one side, there was a great slope, stretching a half mile or more in the side. And opposite was another vast slope, probably stretching another half mile. And bivouacked on one slope was the army of Israel, and on the other, the army of the Philistines. Now, the last time that we saw David, he was going back and forth from his sheepfold to the king's palace. And the Philistines now have come to wage war against the Israelites. And Saul is off the battle, and he takes his soldiers. Included in those soldiers were the first three sons of Jesse, David's oldest brothers. Now, it has been a while since they have gone off to battle, and no word has been heard from them. So Jesse sends David to go take some food to his brothers and their commanding officers. He is to check on them, and he is to bring back something to let them know that they are okay. Verse 18 says that. He says, bring back a pledge. Bring back an assurance that they're okay. I want you to remember that, okay? Now, it's been a while, and so off David goes. These two enemy camps are facing each other. And for 40 days, Goliath has taunted Israel. Goliath has come and taunted them. Our scripture tells us that that Goliath, in verse 4, is 6 cubits in a span. That's about 9 feet 9 inches. Now, any NBA team will take a center that's 9 feet 9 inches, since the goal is only 10 feet off the floor. They will take that center. So he's 9 feet 9 inches, and he is covered with bronze from head to toe. He's got a brass helmet on. He's got a coat of mail, a piece of canvas that has little pieces of brass sewed into it. It weighs, Scripture tells us here, that it weighs 5,000 shekels. It's at least 150 pounds, if not 200 pounds. And there's probably not an Israelite that weighs much more than 150 pounds or 200 pounds, let alone has a piece of armor that big, that heavy. He's got greaves that cover his legs to protect him from that. Plus, he has a shield. His shield is about the size of a picnic table. His shield is carried by somebody else to protect him. And one of his men maneuvers to protect him from the enemy's attack. Those are his defensive weapons. As for his offensive weapons, he has a javelin and he has a spear. And every day, twice a day, he would taunt Israel. He would ask for one man to come and fight him. This seems to be a strategy of typical warfare of the time. It's called representative warfare. One person would fight for the whole nation. And so he's saying, I will fight for the Philistines. You choose someone to fight for Israel. If I win, Israel serves the Philistines. If you win, the Philistines will serve Israel. And he would come and make that challenge every day, twice a day, for 40 days. No one took up the challenge. Not even the king. Not even the captain of the army, Abner. No one. But Saul wanted this ordeal to be over. It has happened for 40 plus days. So he decided he was going to bribe some people. To the man that would come and represent Israel, he was going to give him money. He was going to give that man who killed Goliath his daughter to wife. And he was going to exempt his family from paying taxes. Wow, you're going to take up the challenge now? Get a wife, get some money, and don't have to pay taxes. You can hear the men sitting around the campfire. The challenge has come down, and they say, are you going to take it up? Are you going to take it up? And you can almost hear the excuses. Oh, I don't need money. I got plenty. I'm okay with what I got. I don't need any more money. Or, I'm happily married. Or, I've got a girl back home. I don't need someone. Hey, I'm single, but I don't want her, and I don't need her, and I'll be happy to be single and be a bachelor to the rapture. That's okay with me, or I'll find someone else. I don't need it. Taxes? Oh, no, no. We like paying taxes. Taxes are civic duty. We're okay with that. We want to support people. So you could just hear the excuses going around why nobody took the challenge to go be the representative to kill Goliath. No one wanted to go face Goliath. But now here comes David on the scene, verse 20. And as he approaches the camp, the army is going out to its battle position. See, they would go out to battle, and then Goliath would come out and make their taunt, and then they would run back. So they would get out and get in fighting position. Goliath would come out, make his little taunt, and they would go back. And so David comes in the scene when they have gone out to battle. He hears Goliath's taunt and sees them retreating. He's like, what's going on here? But see, David had a different response to Goliath than to the soldiers. And we see the contrast in verse 25 and verse 26. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that man who killeth him, the king will enrich him and give great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free to Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Do you see the contrast? In verse 25, the soldiers have words of resignation, but David has words of indignation. The men of Israel call Goliath this man. David calls him this uncircumcised Philistine. They say that Goliath has come out to defy Israel. David says that he's come out to defy the armies of the living God. They refer to Goliath's potential victor as the man who kills him. David refers to him as the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. In short, the men of Israel see an insuperable, fearsome giant who is reproaching Israel. David sees merely an uncircumcised Philistine who has the audacity to reproach the armies of the living God. What was different about David? What was different about David? David knew, and David knows, that God was greater. God was greater. David knew that God was on his side and that no one could be against him, and David had a faith in his God. So I want to look at and examine David's faith here. First, we see that David's faith saw the real problem. David's faith saw the real problem, that the enemy was God's enemy. That the enemy was God's enemy. See, Goliath, in the first part of the verse, says, as he's taunting the army, "Aren't you the servants of Saul?" And the army saw themselves as servants of Saul and saw that they were being attacked by the nation of Israel. Whereas David saw that it was attack against God. He saw that the enemy, Goliath, was an enemy of God. In David's eyes, the presence of Goliath was a disgrace that needed to be removed. Second, David wasn't dissuaded by Goliath's size. He wasn't afraid of the 9'9" giant because his God was greater. David questioned, why should he defy the armies of the living God? Despite what the Philistines may think, despite what they may believe, their God, Dagon, is a destroyed, dead idol. And by contrast, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He's the eternal King. See, what was happening here is the soldiers were walking by sight, but David was walking by faith. David's motives were questioned. His brother comes down to him and says, "What are you doing here? I know why you're here. You just want to come to see the dead bodies and the corpses and see the battle going on." It's basically what Eliab says to him. But those that walk by faith and those that walk by sight have different perspectives. Those that walk by faith are often misunderstood. Their motives are often questioned. They're often told they don't understand the real problem. But in reality, they that walk by faith understand the problem better. David saw the real problem. This was a battle against the Lord. It was a battle against the Lord. So his faith saw the real problem, that the enemy was God's enemy. Next, we see that David's faith is sizes up the true situation. His faith sizes up the true situation, that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent, because word spread quickly, and Saul heard it. And so Saul sends for David, and David, knowing that the Lord is on his side, offers to fight Goliath. Here's his whole army scared. Here's a little boy who comes with a bag lunch from his father and says, "I'll do it." But Saul's a little hesitant, because Saul says, "Here's a little boy. There's a 9'9" giant. This is a mismatch. You're just a boy." But David says, "Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, because even though this might be a mismatch, let me tell you what God's done for me already in the past. I've killed a lion and I've killed a bear." And he says, "The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." And David assures Saul that God will deliver him from the hand of the Philistine. So Saul's persuaded a bit, but he insists that David wear his armor. Now, some theologians think that the reason for that is so that if David does win, Saul can say, "He wore my armor. I was part of the battle." So David puts on the armor, starts moving around, and it's too cumbersome. He can't move around. He says, "I can't fight with this." So he takes it off. He gets 5 smooth stones from the brook. He takes his sling. He takes his staff. He goes off to meet the Philistine. Saul must have thought David was a goner. Saul saw David, a boy, going to fight a giant. But David knew that he was going to fight Goliath. And David knew that God was the giant and Goliath was the dwarf. He saw the real situation. His faith sized up the real situation, that God is omnipotent. But then thirdly, about David's faith, we see that David's faith became sight. David's faith became sight. He knew that the battle was the Lord's. 40 days, 40 plus days of taunting. And finally, the army of Israel sends out their warrior, and it's a boy. Goliath didn't consider David to be a worthy opponent. In fact, he came to the same conclusion that Saul came to, that David and Goliath were mismatched. Goliath thought he was invincible. He was covered head to toe with brass. But he failed to understand that he and his shield bearer were no match to David and his God. Now, Goliath either didn't notice David's sling, or at least he discounted its potential lethal effectiveness against his full suit of armor. Because Goliath perceived that David was coming to fight against him with sticks. And he implied that such weapons were appropriate for beating a dog, the lowest of animals, but would be of no use whatsoever in trying to defeat a champion like himself. And Goliath cursed David. Then David responds with a taunt of his own. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands." Look with me at verse 45. You'll see some things in verse 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" He says, "you and I," verse 45, emphatic singular pronouns that echoed Goliath's challenge in verse 44. But look at verse 47. Just a note here. He concludes by warning that God would give you, plural, into our, plural, hands, reminding Goliath of his own earlier intention that the battle would be a representative battle, the results of which he would have profound implications for the Philistines and the Israelites as a whole. But Goliath was undeterred, so he moves closer for the attack. And David wasted no time running forward to meet him. One sling stone sufficed. There was a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. One stone flew through the air, and that's all there was to it. It hit Goliath in the forehead, and he fell. Well, the Philistines didn't wait around. The shield bearer got out of there quick. David went over and took Goliath's own sword and cut off Goliath's head. Then he took Goliath's head back to Jerusalem. Remember back what David's father told him? There were three things. Take this food to them and their commanding officers. Check. See how your brothers are. Check. Bring back some assurance that they're okay. And with Goliath's head, that was accomplished. Check. David's heart of faith was tested, and it proved to have faith in the true and living God. The soldiers saw it, King Saul saw it, and the enemy saw it. David had faith in God. God is greater. If God be for us, who can be against us? David faced Goliath because he was unintimidated. He knew that God was greater. Intimidation. That's our major battle when we face giants. When they intimidate us, we get tongue-tied. Our thoughts get confused. We forget how to pray. We focus on the odds against us. We forget whom we represent. And we stand with our knees knocking. I wonder what God must be thinking. When all the while he has promised us, "My power is available, there's no one on this earth greater. Trust me." But see, David's eyes weren't fixed on the giant. Intimidation played no part in his life. His eyes were fixed on God. And with invincible confidence in his God, David responded that all in this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord. And there it is. That was the secret to David's life. The battle is the Lord's. Are you trying to do your own battle? Are you trying to fight it your way? Trying to outsmart the enemy? Trying to outfox him? You can't, but God can. Are you saying, and is he saying to you, you do it my way and I'll honor you? You do it your way and you're doomed to fail. The battle is mine. What giants are you facing today? Maybe it's your job. Maybe your roommate. Maybe your school. Maybe it's a person, a lawsuit, unemployment, a disaster. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe a brother or a sister. Perhaps it's a fear that's lurking around the corner, sucking your energy and draining your faith. Maybe you can't get a handle on what your giant is, but it's there and it's haunting you. Whatever your giant is, your God is greater. Your God is greater. And God is saying, where is your faith? You don't have to wear someone else's armor. Trust me. The battle is mine. Trust me. Will you trust him? Will you trust God with the battle to go against your giant? Where can you trust him today? Can you say today, Lord, I have this giant in my life. It is fill in the blank. But you are greater. And I turn the battle over to you. I trust you. Nothing is more important or more significant in my life than you. You are greater. In you do I trust. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you thanking you for the story of David, for it teaches us a story of faith, a faith in God, our great God. It fills out the New Testament admonition, if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. For our God is greater, and we thank you.